Good morning, everyone.
My name is Michael. For those who don't know me, and most of you do, I see there are some new faces. Welcome. Glad you could join us this morning. As Paul has mentioned, we are starting a new series in the book of Acts. Well, it's not new. We're coming back to a series we were busy with earlier on last year. And this series in Acts, we have entitled The Unstoppable Gospel. As we look at the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey, and the passage which has been read for us by Mr. Ngoma is really the launching of that first missionary journey. And over the next three Sundays, we're going to be looking at what occurred during this missionary journey. And what we want to be able to see through this is that the gospel which Paul was carrying on this journey is an unstoppable gospel. It accomplished the purpose for which it was sent, even though there was opposition, and often strong opposition, even as we see in our own passage this morning. And so just by a way of introduction and background to bring us up to speed to this passage today, I want to just quickly remind you of a few things we looked at last time when we were busy with the earlier part of this series. And the first thing that I think is crucial for us to understand is the Apostle Paul's conversion, which we read about in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9 is where we see he was on the road to Damascus. I think I have a picture. I do. So the picture which we see on the screen is got Jerusalem at the bottom, Damascus somewhere just below the middle, and Antioch up at the top of the picture of the map. And our story today really starts in the town of Antioch, which is the town right on top. But Saul was converted on the road to Damascus. He was heading to Damascus at that time to go and persecute Christians. And it's that very persecution that Saul was actively involved in that actually was quite instrumental in the starting of the church in Antioch. Because by that time, there was no church in Antioch. But when the believers were being persecuted by Saul before he was persecuted. Now, let me just stop there for a moment because I've used the word Saul, but we're talking about Paul. I think it's not very obvious, so it's good for me to mention, and our passage tells us this as well, that Saul had two names, Paul and Saul. Okay, so let's not be confused. Up till this time in the story, Acts 13, the passage read for us, he's known as Saul. But from this time onwards in the book of Acts, he takes the name Paul. So just don't be confused. We're speaking about the same person. Saul was from the town of Tarsus. Tarsus is on the map, the very highest city or town above Antioch. That's where he was actually from. But he was in Jerusalem persecuting Christians. And when he was persecuting Christians, the Christians scattered from Jerusalem. And they went to different towns. Some went to Samaria, some went to Caesarea, some went to Cyprus, which is the very island which is also part of our story here. Some even went as far as Antioch. All right? So here is how actually the gospel reached Antioch. In Acts chapter 11 from verse 19, we read that story. And in our series last year, we looked at that part and we saw how the gospel reached Antioch and the church in Antioch started to grow. And in actual fact, it's in Antioch that the term Christian is first applied to believers. It's in the city of Antioch. And we read that in Acts chapter 11. So we see the church in Antioch growing. But by this time, Paul wasn't even there in Antioch. Paul, after he was converted in Damascus, with his zeal and joy of his newfound faith, he started to proclaim this truth in the Jewish synagogues of Damascus. He was very eager to convince others about this truth, that Jesus is the Son of God. But he found persecution in Damascus. And so his friends, the believers, put him in a basket, lowered him out down the city wall, and sent him away. Later on, we find him in Jerusalem, arriving in Jerusalem. And again, he's doing the same thing, wanting to convince others, now even also the Greeks. Because remember, on the road to Damascus, when Jesus met him there, he was told that you will be my witness to the Gentiles. And for the first time, actually, in Jerusalem, we actually discover Paul sharing the gospel not only to the Jews, but he also started engaging with the Greeks. But again, he found persecution. And the church in Jerusalem said, for your safety, we're going to send you away. He sent him back to his hometown, which is Tarsus, all the way on top of the map is where they sent him. Coming back to the church in Antioch. That church continued to grow, even though Paul wasn't there. Barnabas was one of those sent from Jerusalem to go and see this Gentile city now getting believers. And when Barnabas arrived there, we read in Acts chapter 11, he decided he needs to get Saul to come and minister in this church. So Barnabas went to Tarsus. He fetched Saul from there, brought him to Antioch. And they were together, Barnabas and Saul, in this church for more than a year as they were ministering the gospel, seeing the church grow. Antioch was a Gentile city. In fact, it was founded by the Greeks, actually, before even the Romans conquered the Greeks. Antioch was named after the father of the Greek conqueror who actually founded that city. And in fact, let's go to the next picture in the map. We will see the town called Seleucia, just very near to Antioch, the one that's in the ocean. That is actually the name of the man who founded the city of Antioch, the Greek conqueror. So it was a very Greek area, very Gentile area, but the church was growing, and we see growth, massive growth in that city. Today, as we look into our passage today, we're going to see that in this church in Antioch that was strong, they started to send out a missionary team from this Gentile church. Yes, there were Jews there as well, but there was a Gentile city. But they sent out these missionaries, Paul and Barnabas. This is the start of what is known as Saul's first missionary journey. And today I want us to see three things in this passage as this church is preparing to send out these missionaries. I want us to see three main things. First of all, that these men are set apart. Secondly, they are sent. And thirdly, they are supported. And all these three things involve the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who sets them apart. It's the Holy Spirit who sends them. It's the Holy Spirit who supports them. I trust that we'll be able to see this in this passage as we go through it together. But we're going to need God's help as we do so. So won't you bow with me as we pray and ask God for his help. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have brought us here this morning to hear your word, to listen to you speak to us. Father, this is the reason we've come. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us to hear you speaking to us, to each one of us, Lord, myself included. Help us to hear your voice speaking to us through this scripture. We know this is your word which we have read. It's your word being expounded, and so we need your help to understand it. Help me, Lord, as I preach, that I will speak clearly and confidently that which you have laid on my heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. AI is everywhere today. Some of you have your Bibles open on your phone. I wouldn't be surprised if even while you're looking at the scripture on your Bible, there's a little icon there inviting you to touch on AI. When we open up WhatsApp, AI is there waiting for us. We open up Facebook, AI is there. We open up Instagram or X or Twitter. AI is everywhere today. Artificial intelligence. One of the most popular platforms for artificial intelligence today is known as ChatGPT. ChatGPT, one of the most famous, I think. But I'm not advertising AI and I'm not advertising ChatGPT. But I'm just interested this morning, and you don't have to answer me. I know people are looking at you as well. But have you ever used AI or ChatGPT? We have some students in university here who I'm sure are tempted to ask AI to write its assignments for you. I've used AI, and in fact, just this week I asked AI to help me find a setting on my computer, which I knew I could find, but AI would help me do it quickly. AI was very useful in that sense. It could help me come to a particular answer which I needed to get my computer to do what I wanted it to do. This this week, Renee asked ChatGPT how to remove broken eggs from a carpet. You can just imagine why she might need to ask that question. But the answer ChatGPT gave was useful. It helped her to get the broken eggs out of the carpet and get the smell out. And it was very, very useful because ChatGPT is an artificial intelligence. It helps to get those kind of answers. But I wonder today, this morning, I want to ask you this question. Again, don't answer me. Just keep that answer for yourself. But do you trust ChatGPT or artificial intelligence? Would you trust ChatGPT to give you the answer on who you should marry? I don't think so. This is an important life decision. Would you trust ChatGPT to give you the answer on who or where you should work, which job opportunity you should take? I don't think so, because that's an important life decision. In my use of ChatGPT, I have found it making errors. And when I discovered the error, I would respond and say, why have you done this? Because this is not right. And he will apologize to me. Sorry, I made a mistake. ChatGPT makes mistakes. We can't rely on ChatGPT for important things. What would you think of your pastor if you found out he was using ChatGPT to prepare his sermons? I see some smiles as you think about how you'd be so upset and you'd lose trust or respect. Because preaching is an important thing. We can't trust ChatGPT to make our sermons for us. You see, for important matters that involve the church, that involve relationships, and involve our lives as believers, we can't trust AI with that. But God has given to us a vastly superior source of help and support and guidance. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And this morning, that's what I want us to see in this passage. The involvement of the Holy Spirit in setting apart Paul and Barnabas. The involvement of the Holy Spirit in sending Paul and Barnabas. And the involvement of the Holy Spirit in supporting them in the face of opposition as they preached this unstoppable gospel. My first point this morning, as my sermon actually entitled, Set Apart, Sent and Supported by the Spirit for Ministry, for Gospel Ministry, for Word Ministry. My first point is set apart by the Spirit for particular ministry. I would love for you to have your Bibles open as we look at Acts chapter 13. I want you to see in the first three verses of Acts, it's from verse 1 to 3, we see this setting apart of Paul and Barnabas for a particular ministry. And this story is actually extremely helpful to us here in Lusaka today, at Christ Church Lusaka, as we are seeking to grow and establish this church, just like the church in Antioch was grown. We are seeking to grow this church. Because here we find two important principles in this passage. And that is that the particular work requires being set apart for it. Particular work requires being set apart for it. And secondly, we see that that setting apart should be done with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. Here in this Greek city of Antioch, we see in verse 1 of Acts 13 that they had prophets and teachers. This already is an indication of particular roles, prophets and teachers. They have already been installed in those roles. And what we actually see here in this passage is that there are five of them, and we're even given their names. We're given their names. And the fact that they have five prophets and teachers is an indication that this church had grown rapidly and was a healthy church. But we also not only see that these prophets and teachers were great in number. Here in Lusaka, we don't have that many. There's myself and Kayumba, I think. We are the two, could we say, prophets and teachers. We also have Kennedy there. He's also a teacher and a preacher. I call him a prophet. In this understanding also of a prophet is someone who speaks God's word. What I'm doing from this pulpit this morning is I'm speaking God's word, and that is also prophecy, right? But I'm also teaching. And so they had five of these leaders. And what these leaders were doing, we find in verse 2, actually, they were busy with very important activities for the church. Here, what they were doing is they were worshiping. You see that? They were worshiping the Lord, and they were fasting. See, these leaders, all five of them, they were set apart for this mission, this ministry, and they were engaged in the activity that role required for them. They were worshiping the Lord. They were fasting, seeking God's guidance. And whilst they were busy with that particular work, it's there that the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit says, set apart for me. Two of your leaders, you have five, take two of them and set them apart. You'll be left with three. Take two, set them apart for a particular work. The work that I have chosen for them to do. Now, as I read this passage, and as I was studying this in my own study, getting ready for this, I was really challenged. As one of the leaders in this church, I was really challenged. I was forced to ask this question. Am I, as one of the leaders in this church, am I setting time apart with other leaders of our church to seek God's guidance in prayer, earnestly, in fasting? You know, fasting is something where you say, I will not eat. But you don't have to fast only from eating. You can fast from many different things. But the idea of fasting is the idea of earnestness. The idea of setting apart yourself to seek God's guidance. And here we see these leaders doing it. And I ask myself, am I deliberate? Am I determined to do what is necessary? To set apart particular time, to set apart energy for the role which the role of leader requires? And I must confess that we as church leaders could be doing better in this area. We must be setting time apart to prayerfully and worshipfully hear from God. Because that's when He speaks. In Acts 13 verse 2, whilst they were setting this time apart, these leaders were setting this time apart It's then that the Holy Spirit speaks. And he says, set apart Saul and Barnabas for a particular work that I have called them for. Now, the guidance in practical matters like this, of setting apart people for particular roles, or who I should marry, or who I should work for, or where I should live, what I should study. These practical matters, we don't find the answers for those matters in the Bible. You can't turn to a page in anywhere in the Bible, whether it's in the book of Kings or Psalms or Proverbs or anywhere, even in the New Testament, you can't find a verse that says, Lena, I need for you to go and work in a particular place. It's not there. God does give us wisdom. God does guide us in these practical matters, especially matters involving the church. But we need to be seeking his face prayerfully and worshipfully. Here is a good example of how we are to seek God's guidance for practical matters. We see them being prayerful and worshiping God as they consider particular roles. God will speak to us through his still small voice to guide us, to give us assurance in which direction to go. Ngoma announced this morning the need for more kids ministry workers. Maybe that's a role you need to think about and pray about. Don't ask ChatGPT, shall I do this? No. Ask the Holy Spirit. Pray. Worshiping God. Seek God's face. Is this a role that I should step into? Some of us are serving as ushers here. And we are grateful for those who serve in our church. It's a role you've been set apart for and diligently work in it. Those helping with a projector, those helping in music, those leading, they are all different roles. In our church, there are many roles. And we are meant to be contributing members. We're meant to be part of the community, fulfilling a role. What role are you fulfilling? Is there another role that you could take on to yourself and add to the roles you are doing? Do you have capacity for that? Well, before you just jump at it, ask yourself, am I praying and asking God through his Holy Spirit to guide me in this? We have to make these decisions prayerfully, seeking advice from the Holy Spirit. My next point, sent. Sent by the Spirit to proclaim the gospel. Sent by the Spirit. That's the next thing that we see. Once somebody is set apart for something, the next thing is they should fulfill the role. In other words, they should be sent, right? And the first thing that we see actually in verse 4, we see that they were sent by the Holy Spirit. They were sent. It's the Holy Spirit who sent them. In verse 3, the last few words of verse 3 actually says, it's the church who sent them out. The church sent them out. But in verse 4, we see it's the Holy Spirit who sent them. Okay? And there's actually a very interesting difference between those two ideas of being sent. The church sending and the Holy Spirit sending. I wonder if you can pick it up. The church in the ESV says, sent them off. While the Holy Spirit sent them out. Right? They were set apart and the church sent them off. And the idea there is actually dismiss them. The church released them. We understand you are set apart for this. Now we release you to go and do that role. We release you and empower you and send you as the Holy Spirit has set you apart. So there is that sacrifice from the church's side. The five leaders have now become three. Two have been sent off. So we need to recognize when we take a role, there is a sense where we are leaving a different vacuum somewhere else. But we see here it is actually the Holy Spirit, verse 4. It's the Holy Spirit who is the sending one. The Holy Spirit set them apart, and now the Holy Spirit sends them, is what verse says. 4 says. Saul and Barnabas, look at that word. Also, it's an action word there. They went. So having been sent, they went. And that's an action verb. That's actually fulfilling their calling, being set apart. They're now going. They're doing. Sent by the Holy Spirit, they went. So this is an act of obedience, recognizing you're set apart for a particular role. And being sent by the church and the Holy Spirit, now they also went. They did not stay in the role of leadership in Antioch. They didn't stay in the comforts of the city that they'd come known to. No, there was sacrifice. They had to leave their home, leave that city, leave those roles, and go. And they went. They went to the nearest city on the ocean, Seleucia, and from there they sailed, left behind even the land on which they lived, and arrived at an island called Cyprus. And they landed on the east side of Cyprus at a place called, what is that place called? I didn't take a note of it. Somebody tell me, what is it? Paphos. No, Paphos is on the west. Regardless, you can see it in your Bible there. They came to this place where they preached the word of God. That's the main point. They preached the word of God in the synagogue. Now they start fulfilling their role. They're being obedient. And we can see that they're doing this particular work, not only from the east side of the island, but all across the island, all the way to the west side where they come to this place called Paphos. And that's actually where the heart of our story actually takes place, right? But the one thing I want you to see in this sending and this going and this obedience to proclaim the word, I want you to see that they are leaving behind a vacancy. Salamis. Thank you. Thank you so much. The town is called Salamis, the one on the east side. They arrived at Salamis. This is where they went to. So they're now in Salamis. They're not in Antioch. I don't know if you've ever double booked your calendar where you're supposed to be in two places at once. Is it possible? Can you be in two places at once? No, it's not possible. Sometimes those who are involved in ministry here in this church on a Sunday morning, whether it's music or computer or ushers or leading, or there might be some other responsibility in the family. Last week, I know the Zulus were not here because why? They went to Chisamba for harvesting fields. They were not here, but they were there. They wanted to be here, but they could not because there was a responsibility to harvest crops. And they had to get it out because of thieves and because of the rain. It had to come out of the land, had to be harvested. You can't be in two places at once. If you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to another thing. And that's the important thing. When we commit, when we are set apart for a particular role in church, we need to understand that we need to be obedient to that. And in being obedient and committing and being sent apart and being sent towards that particular role, we have to say no to other things. We can't be in two places at once. And that's what we see happening here. They arrived at Salamis. They were not in Antioch because they were sent and they were set apart by the Holy Spirit. So that's the main point I want us to see here today. They were sent and they went. We too must fully commit to the work we are set apart for. And we must follow the Spirit's leading and be obedient. Obedience requires sacrifice. There is sacrifice for those who go. And there are sacrifice for those who are left behind. Obedience requires sacrifice. My third and last point is supported by the Spirit. Supported by the Spirit in the face of opposition. And this brings us to the very interesting conflict that we read in this passage that Saul and Barnabas faced. There was this Jewish false prophet who opposed them. Not only opposed them, but opposed the preaching of the gospel that they were engaged with. But it's in this conflict that we see the presence, the guidance, and the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who sent them. And here we see that Saul, who was also called Paul, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what helped him to answer the false prophet. And it was a powerful answer. Not only was that answer infused with scripture and infused with truth and strength, but the result, what followed the answer, the action, was not Paul's doing. It was the Holy Spirit that caused Elymas to become blind, that false prophet. And I don't want to go into details into the story and into the conflict. But I want us to see, and I want it to be highlighted today, that it was the Holy Spirit who empowered, guided, and filled Saul, helping him to handle this opposition in a powerful way. The result of the way that Paul handled this opposition is that the governor of that island, Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, came to faith. In the Apostle Paul's ministry, this seems to be the first Greek Gentile convert. And he's a powerful man. He's a Roman ruler of the whole island. He's the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. He's an intelligent man, a man of thinking and reasoning, we're told in this passage. One of the reasons why he had this prophet, Elymas, nearby him was because he was intelligent. He wanted to know more about the Jewish religion and the Jewish God. Sergius did not know that this is a false prophet, a false prophet. But he came to know that Elymas is a false prophet through the power of the Holy Spirit working through Paul. Because Sergius Paulus, the proconsul of that island, believed after seeing and hearing. And so the result of the way Saul acted, the way Saul spoke, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the result is the conversion of this Gentile ruler. And I want you to see that this would not have happened if Paul was sent by ChatGPT. It would not have happened. There would have been no Holy Spirit power to support him, right? And so the fact that Paul and Barnabas were set apart by the Holy Spirit, and Paul and Barnabas were sent by the Holy Spirit, guaranteed that the support of the Holy Spirit is with them. And that's what I want us here this morning to focus on and to really grasp as we commit to serving in different roles in this church, whatever they may be. We should prayerfully consider those roles. And once we recognize that the Holy Spirit has led us and set us apart for that role, to be committed to it, to be sent into that role, and to fulfill that role with all diligence and sacrifice that that role will require. And whilst we do so, we should also trust that when we face difficulty, challenges, and hardship, trust the Holy Spirit who set us apart, who sent us for that work, will also support us in it when we face opposition. We are not alone. He is with us. He is with us. Let us be those who prayerfully and worshipfully seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit for particular roles of ministry. Let us be those who go and who sacrifice. And let us be those who trust the Holy Spirit to support us. Amen.